it done. When you can't see it, say, if you're looking for a miracle, say, it's intangible or tangible, intangible, invisible. And when it's invisible, it's already done. It's already done. Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you for your faithfulness because it's already done. In Jesus' name. With your Bibles in your hands, thank you, Lord. I would like for you to make this declaration with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am not only a hearer of the word, but I am a doer of the word. My life will never be the same after hearing the words of faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. We're going to go into Genesis chapter 37, verses 5 through 11. Genesis 37, verses 5 through 11. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. And lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood around about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and my mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray, oh God, right now that you would touch me, your vessel, Lord. I decrease that you might increase. Lord, I hide behind the cross. Lord, I pray for your grace, for your anointing, oh God, on this morning. Lord, I pray and lift up the hearers, God, that you would bless them as they receive your word on this day. Lord, we thank you for signs and wonders and manifestations of your word. Oh God, after your word, we thank you for signs and wonders. And Lord, we thank you, oh God, that we will not only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And we give your name the praise and the glory. We bind all distractions. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to use as a topic, dreams do come true. Dreams do come true. Now see, I don't know what dream you might be dreaming or have had. You know, some of us had dreams and we had visions when we were quite young. And the manifestation of those visions and dreams have not come to pass yet. But we have to realize that one day to the Lord is as 1,000 years. So keep living. I mean, I had aspirations. I had dreams. I wanted to be a school teacher. And as a child, I would sit on the porch and send all the applications and send out information to all the black colleges. I was raised in Richmond. And so you sent to all the black colleges. And I got information from all of the colleges. But guess what? I didn't have any money. I did not have any money to go. My parents didn't have money to send me. But who knows? Those of you that know me, my dream came true. Even though I was 70 years old when I received my undergraduate and my bachelor's degree, but guess what? That was a dream that came true. It might have seemed like it took hundreds of years, but it came true. And what's so neat about dreams, when it comes true when it's needed. Because if I had gotten my bachelor's back then, who knows what I would have been doing. But God prepared me at 70 years old to work in ministry in the daycare. And not only that, just working in ministry, but the Lord allowed me to start a Bible study with the parents. And many of them are getting saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And they have a zeal and they're running on with Jesus. Dreams do come true. Let me tell you, dreams come true. My granddaughter, she has an aspiration to be a fashion designer. And we don't know why God put that in her heart. We might sit back and say, well, Lord, why you want to go that route? There's no success in that. But she might be the next, who? Give me some. That's right, who? Yeah, she might be the next that person or this person. We don't know. She might be the next one that's going to have all the girls running down the runway. And they said, designed by Destiny Jones. We don't know. God gave her the aspiration. And God has given all of us aspirations and dreams. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above that we would think or ask, according to the power that worketh in us. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly. Amen. Dreams do come true. Amen. And you know, and dreams, I can give you some definitions. I mean, we all know what dreams are. But you know what? Dreams can get real deep. The study of dreams can get real deep. Yes. Dreams, a series of mental images, ideas, and emotions that occur during sleep. A daydream, a reverie, that's an abstracted thought, like a daydream, an aspiration or ambition. Now, do means it would be fulfilled. Dreams do. They are fulfilled. And come means to happen, to exist as a particular point or place. See, and true means consistent with fact or reality. Accurate, not counterfeit, but genuine. When I received my BS degree, it wasn't a fake. It was genuine. Yes. It was not a fake, but it was genuine. How many times people have gone to schools and they thought they had earned a degree, and lo and behold, at the end, and when they go to present their credentials, and they are saying, this is not a legitimate school. This is nothing but fake. And you have put in the time, you put in the studies, and you said, Lord have mercy. What is this? Now you got to go back to a regular, you know, school that's recognized and go through everything over again. But in spite of that, dreams come true. Even though you might have had to go down another road, you had to do what you had to do, and God gave you the grace to do it. Now, according to the New Unger's Bible Dictionary, dreams are expressed in three different ways: intellectual. Okay, you have your intellectual, then you have your ethical, and you have your spiritual. So all these dreams, when we dream, we can dream intellectually. When you think about the poets and the scientists, how many of them, I'm sure, when they went to sleep, God showed them things to create in their sleep. And when they were awakened, there was a genius. Can you imagine that? The poets, you know, Maya Angelou. I wonder how many times that when she's asleep, she began. Let me tell you, God will speak to you in dreams. And I didn't find this. Let me see if I can find this verse. Let me tell you, sometimes we are so busy in life that we cannot even follow simple instructions by the leaders or by someone that's over us. So what God has to do to you, he has to wait till he gets you to sleep to give you instructions. Now I got to find it. I think it might be Job chapter 5, verse 33. Job chapter 5, verse 33. Some of us are so busy, so talkative. God is trying to talk to us, and everybody's trying to talk to us, but we're over-talking everybody. And God is trying to tell you something, and he says, well, I'm going to have to put you to sleep to give you instructions. Oh, where is that at? Well, I might have to, I intended to put that, make sure that I found that. I don't want to hold the message up, but nevertheless, it's in Job where he will instruct us because of the fact that we are so busy during the day that we can't hear him. And he directs us while we are asleep. So, as we go further, we see here that the dream is a domain of experience, having an intellectual, ethical, and spiritual significance. Now, living in an earthly body, we have as the background of our being a dim region out of which our thinking labors forth to the daylight, and in which goes forward, especially in the condition of sleep, of which we can only come to a knowledge by looking back afterward. Now, have you ever had a dream and then you realize that, oh, afterward you realize God has showed you the situation. And you're saying, oh, my Lord. Have you, the world calls it deja vu or whatever it is. Deja vu. But see, that's not deja vu in the Holy Ghost. That's God speaking to you through a dream and sometimes through a vision has shown you in advance what's going to happen. And then when you realize and you look in retrospect, oh, my Lord, the Lord showed that to me how many years ago? That's how dreams work, but dreams do come true. And so when we look back in retrospect, not only many poetical and musical inventions, but moreover many scientific solutions and spiritual perceptions have been conceived and born from the life of genius awakened in sleep. I tell you, another significant aspect of dreaming is the ethical. Now, in the dream, one's true nature manifests itself. Breaking through the pressure of external relations and the stimulation of the waking life. Now, I guess you understand what I'm saying. Now, it says, from the selfishness of the soul, its selfish impulses, its restlessness, stimulated by selfishness, are formed in the heart of all kinds of sinful images, of which the man is ashamed when he awakens, and on account of which remorse sometimes disturbs the dreamer. Have you been dreaming something, and it seems so real, and all of a sudden, oh, God, and you're all disturbed in your sleep, and you wake up, oh, thank God it was just a dream. Thank God it was just a dream, and it wasn't really true. Thank you, Jesus. Ever been there? I know you have. Yes, indeed. And it says the scriptures appear to hold the man responsible, if not for dreaming, at least for the character of the dream. Now, I'm going to give you a homework assignment. Write these two scriptures down. I will not discuss this particular paragraph, but write down Leviticus 15, verse 16, and Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 10, and you'll see the significance of ethical dreaming. In other words, if your mind is warped, and you messed up, if your mind is warped and you messed up in the mind, when you go to bed, you're going to dream just what's in your heart. If you're selfish when you go to bed, and you're selfish, and you're selfish, and you're selfish, when you go to bed, you're going to be struggling with somebody trying to take something from you, and you fighting for dear life, for what's yours. I think about the little kids in the daycare. I mean, one kid can be satisfied as long as the other kid does not have the toy. And once the other kid gets the toy, then they all want that toy. They all have to gravitate to that same toy. So if your mind is warped when you go to sleep, you're going to have some messed up dreams. That's why we have to pray and ask the Lord to even protect and apply the blood to our subconscious mind. Because see, your subconscious mind, the devil sometimes can't get you while you're awake. Because you prayed up, you fasted up, you know what I'm saying? But sometimes he'll try to attack you in your sleep and in your dreams. The devil is a liar. Amen. Then we look at the third significance of dreams. Okay, a third significant aspect of dreams is the spiritual. They may become the means of a direct and special intercourse of God with man. The witness of conscience may make itself objective and expand within the dream life into a perceptible transaction between God and man. Thus, warn Amalek. How many know the story about Amalek and Abraham? How Abraham said Sarah was his sister, which literally she was his sister. But the Lord came to Amalek in a dream and says, if you touch this woman, not only are you going to be killed, but your whole family. But God came to him in a dream to let him know. How many of you have ever had a warning and just through a dream? I've had revelations. I've had the Lord show me things just in a dream. I tell you, we see here that Pilate's wife, she had a dream, and she warned Pilate about being concerned about the death of the just one. Look, don't touch it. Don't touch it, because the wife's had a dream. But let me tell you, what does that let you know? Wives need to listen to their husbands, need to listen to their wives, because sometimes the Lord will show the wife something that he has not shown the husband. Because women, we just pray a lot, you know. We not that the men don't pray, you know. When you find a praying man, you got something good. But women pray, you know. We be praying when we walking. We be praying when we just shopping. We're praying when we're going up the aisle. You know, I need some sugar. Lord, I thank you for your blessings. Lord, I thank you for your manifold blessings. Lord, you're faithful to that promise. Lord, you get to the cash register and you have enough to meet your needs. Oh, my goodness. You know, you thought maybe you had to take something out the basket and put it back. You know what I'm saying? But God is faithful. And we still praying. Hallelujah. The Bible says man should always pray and not faint. See, we praying is a lifestyle. Praying is a lifestyle. You don't have to lay prostrate all the time or on your knees. While you're walking, you're talking to God. While you're driving, you're talking to God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad we have fellowship and communion with him? Oh, it's a good thing. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. It says that the conviction of the sinfulness and nothingness of man is related by Eliphaz as realized in a dream. When Job was saying, I just wished I had never been born. I wished I could have just died. I'm sorry that I even had to suck on this, you know, my mother's bosom and all of that. And so the Lord showed Eliphaz in a dream, you need to go tell him something. Now, let's go there. Yeah, we might as well just go there. Job chapter 4, verses 12 through 21. Okay, and it says, now a thing was secretly brought to me, and my ear received a little thereof. In thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falleth on men, fear came upon me, and trembling, which made all my bones to shake. And to check this next verse. Then a spirit passed before my face. The hair of my flesh stood up. How many, have you ever had an experience? The presence of God is so great. And even you just walking in through this presence of God. And all of a sudden you look at your flesh and all you got goosebumps. Look. Goosebumps might just be a fringe benefit, but you know what? It might be a fringe benefit, but I like them. I like the goosebumps because when I get the goosebumps, I feel like I've been touched and have been in his presence. Hallelujah. Give me the goosebumps. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. And it goes on to say, then the spirit passed before my face. The hair of my flesh stood up. It stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before my eyes. There was silence, and I heard a voice saying, shall mortal man be more just than God? See, the Lord had declared Job as a righteous man. But you see, sometimes we can become self-righteous. You know what I'm saying? God declared him as a righteous man. So now he knew he was righteous and he was bragging over the fact that I haven't sinned, but he was full of pride. I mean, you know, I'm surmising he was full of pride. So we see here, shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? Behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. How much less in them that dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is the dust, which are crushed before the moth. They are destroyed from morning to evening. They perish forever without any regarding it. Doth not their excellency which is in them go away? They die even without wisdom. So we see here that the conviction of the sinfulness and nothingness of man is related by Eliphaz, as we realized in a dream in reference to Job. Now, the special will of God was often revealed to men through dreams. Such are the dreams of Jacob in Bethel, Genesis 28 and 12. The dream of Solomon in Gibeon, 1 Kings 3 and 5. The dreams of Joseph, the husband of Mary, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. The night visions of Paul, Acts 16 and 9, Acts 18 and 9. And then from 1 Samuel 28, 6, we infer that God did at times answer sincere inquiries concerning the future. The dreams of Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel are examples. Now, waking visions probably are to be distinguished from these prophetic dream visions, which the seer, whether by day or by night, receives in a wakening state. Now, over 30-some years ago, I was awake. I woke up and I had this vision. And I said to my husband, I says, Joe, look, we are on the 700 Club. Now that was 30 some years ago. And some of you have heard the story before, some have not, so I'm telling it again. So anyway, he says to me, first of all, the TV is not even on. He said, first of all, Imogene, the TV is not on. So what are you talking about? I said, there's Pat Robertson. We are sitting there with him. But guess what? The Lord doesn't always show you things exactly as they would be. But over 30 some years ago, the Lord showed me part of my destiny, who was going to be a part of it 30 some years ago. Had no clue. And when I graduated from Regent University, Sister Rachel is my witness. When I walked across the stage, Pat Robertson walked up and he came to me, hugged me, kissed me, and says, I was not even aware we had a 70-year-old graduate. Isn't that something? 30-some years ago. You have to pay attention, even when your children come and tell you dreams. It says, Joseph, he said he that thing stuck with him. You know, are we going to bow down to you, Joseph? Me and my wife and the children going to give obeisance to you? But see, he kept that and he pondered that. You know, even Mary, when Jesus said, you're highly favored. Woman above all women. And he says, highly favored. And so she said, but you're going to conceive a child. And his name shall be called Emmanuel. And but Lord, how can this be? I don't even know a man. But look, don't even worry about how it's going to be, because I'm going to do it by the Holy Ghost. But then she began to ponder what he said. What the angel told him, yes, what the angel told her. She began to ponder. And you got to hold on to what people tell you. You have to hold on. Now, another thing is this. You can't live your life on dreams. We're going to find that out, too. I got that scripture. I missed the other one about giving instructions. If you can find it for me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I had the 33 right, but I didn't have the, Let's go to Job chapter 33. Thank you, Sister Ricky. I know, Dick and Gary. Thank you, Dick and Gary. Because we like to line up and we like to speak what's in the word. Yeah. You know, somebody would say, what's she talking about? I don't believe it. Let's go to chapter 33. And we can read 14 and 15. It says, for God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men and slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth thou instructions. Now, isn't that true? Mama. Oh, my goodness. Dreams do come true. We want to keep that in mind. Dreams do come true. So, waking visions are real. The dreams of Joseph in his father's house, which we just read, the scripture text, when figuratively predicted to him his future eminence over the house of Jacob, the dreams of the chief butler and chief baker of Pharaoh, and the dream of the soldier in the Midianitish camp in the time of Gideon. Now, according to Numbers 12 and 6, dreams and visions which see are the two forms of the prophetic revelations of God. Too much reliance is not to be placed upon dreams. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 5 and 7. Too much reliance is not to be placed upon dreams. See, if you got somebody that every time they're meeting you and every time they're with you, they done had a dream, you better be careful. You better turn around and start running the other way. Because you don't be dreaming like that all the time. Every time you turn around, they got a dream. Let's read that. What does it say? It says, for in the multitude, do you have it? Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 7. All together? For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also divers vanities, but fear thou God. I tell you, if you trust God, if you fear him, if you reverence him, not be afraid of him, but reverence him. Now, I'm giving you this information, but this is not scripturally based. This was some other material that was found through theologians. It says, a good dream was one of the three things, namely a good king, a fruitful year, and a good dream. Popularly regarded as marks of divine favor. And so general was the belief in its significance that it passed into this popular saying, if anyone sleeps 7 days without dreaming, call him wicked. So that was not in the word. That was just, it came out of a psychology book, page 324, and it was written by Delitzsch. So we're not going to worry about that, but I just wanted to share that with you. Because the dream was looked upon as a communication from the gods, there arose those who professed the ability to interpret dreams. They were not to be listened to if they taught anything contrary to the law. It says, instances are given of God's aiding men to understand dreams and divine lessons taught thereby. Let's go to Deuteronomy 13 a minute. Deuteronomy 13. And we're going to read verses 1 through 3. If you have it, say amen. Let's read verses 1 through 3. And if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, you know what I thought about? I thought about Oprah, because she's really a secular prophet or prophetess or whatever, secular. Now, I don't know how many of you saw the interview with T.D. Jakes and her on last Sunday, and that, I think it was Saturday and Sunday. Well, before he comes out, she had everybody to stand and declare that they were going to be stronger within themselves. That was before he came to the podium. So she'd already made the declaration, and then she says, oh, we are transcending. They are what? Do you hear me? And so, and now our pastors and they are connecting. They are literally connecting with a lot of that craziness. There's a place out in Iowa. And in Iowa, at a certain time of day, everybody's making them their way to this temple. And when they go to this temple, and the man had the audacity to say, Christians come to meditate, Islams, Muslims come to meditate, and this one comes to meditate, and they're all sitting there just meditating. You see, where there's a real, there's always a counterfeit. You know, Joshua says, as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. And then he tells us how to meditate on his word day and night, that our way would be made prosperous. See, we know what to meditate in. We know who to meditate on and what to meditate on. But the devil is a liar. You're going to meditate within yourself to make you think you are some God? The devil is a liar. We have to know in whom we believe. I mean, this world is coming to pots. And we have to know in whom we believe, because it's so subtle. You can sometimes, the Bible says that because of the wickedness of the day, that his time's going to have to be shortened, because even the very elect can be deceived. So we really have to pray. We have the very elect. So we see here, you talking about some other God. No, somebody come telling you, oh, here's Jesus. Oh, here comes Jesus. No, you don't believe it. Don't believe the lie. Now, I had to lay the foundation. We're going to get into the lesson now. Dreams come true. I just had to give you some information about dreams. You know, I just wanted to lay a foundation. Hallelujah. So when we look at the background of Joseph now, it says, Joseph was singled out by God from his conception. His very birth was an answer to his mother's, Rachel's, prayers. It said his father's professional or preferential treatment of him, his special coat being an emblem of this, caused his brothers to envy him. And Joseph's dreams only intensified their feelings. Yet these dreams and Joseph's ability to interpret them were a sign of God's special blessing on Joseph. They would be the means of his advancement in Egypt and the preservation of God's people. Joseph's personal faith and obedience never wavered, whether he was in a prison or a palace. His clever suggestion to Pharaoh would provide a place for Jacob's family to grow into a nation. They would also usher in a time of prosperity for Egypt. God is willing to bless others so that his people may prosper. You know, he says, the Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together. Shall men, yeah, ran over. Shall men, I want to be the one to be able to be the giver. Don't you? I want to be the blessed one so that I can say, hey, there's your rent, girl. Don't worry about it. You need some food? Let's go shopping. Hey, that's what we want to be. We want to be the blesser. My goodness. Yes, yes, the blesser, the blesser. So, men, let me tell you. Pastor Kenneth was talking about blessings and the money that comes into our hands and how we have to pay our tithe and our tenth on it. Well, I was blessed last week. I tell you, I was blessed. I came home one day and I saw this letter from a lawyer. And I recognized the name and I said, I wonder what is this all about? I hope it's good news. Remember when I was hit by those boxes at Walmart? And that knot is still there today. That knot is still there. Well, Medicare was supposed to have picked up or put a lien to pay off all of my therapy. That was in 2005. They never put in a claim or a lien. So I got a check for $1,937.57. I said, then I was calling extra money. Extra money in the mail. Let me tell you, I wasn't looking for it. But see, just like he blessed me, he can bless you with extra money. You never know who owe you something. You never know what relative died. Sometimes we need to kind of search and look for stuff like that, because you never know. Money, the state holds money year in and year out, waiting for people to come and claim it. We don't know who left us money.
No, we don't.
So from this point on in Joseph's life, he was thrown in a pit to die. And we all know the story. His father had sent him to check up on his brethren. They were out in Shechem feeding the flock. So when he goes along, they say, oh, here comes the dreamer. See, you know, you can't tell everybody your dream. You cannot tell everybody your dream, because everybody does not have the good wishes for you. They're going to try to dampen the dream when you try to tell them what's in the dream. Or they're going to try to, I don't mean that, girl. That's trouble. Don't listen. So they said, so what they did, they sold him into slavery. Reuben was saying, he was thinking about his, but this is our flesh and this is our blood. So they ended up putting him in a pit, and then the Ishmaelites came across and they sold him, and then they end up, the Midianites, I think, sold him to Potiphar and Pharaoh, and he became, you know, second to Pharaoh. So, just trying to make the story short, just trying to tell it that way. So, and that's found in Genesis 37, verses 23 through 24. And then he was sold into slavery, Genesis 37, 27 through 28. Then, here comes the whammy, being falsely accused in Genesis 39, verses 13 through 19. Let me tell you, men and women both suffer with lust. A lot of times people just put it on the man, but there are some lustful women in the world. And Potiphar's wife was one of them. She was so after Joseph, come lie with me. Look, your husband gave me the authority, but he set boundaries. And first of all, you are his wife, and I would not sin against my God like that. Amen. Simple and true. Yes. But she didn't care. One day, all the other men were gone. They normally would be working around the house, and she discovered he was in the house. And she warned him. And finally, I guess he got him kind of cornered. And he got off and he took off and ran, but he was so busy getting up out of Dodge that he left his coat. And she took the coat and used it against him. And he ended up in jail. Oh, well, you know, in the dungeon. Because here comes her husband home. Potiphar, do you realize what you have in here? This man came in to mock us. To mock me. And of course he was he macho, you know, he was gonna get mad. Who does he think he is gonna try to go with my wife? Put him in the dungeon. But guess what? Well, I don't wanna get ahead of myself. So he was tossed in prison, and then he was forgotten. After he was tossed in prison, then he was forgotten. Now, you can find where he was tossed in prison in Genesis 39 through 20. And then when he was forgotten, because the butler and the baker had a dream and shared it with Joseph. And that's found in verses 5 and 13 and 16 through 22 of that chapter. And most of us remember the story, the baker and the butler. One was going to be restored. The one had a dream. One saw, had a dream about three vines. And in the vines, a bud came up. Whenever you see something budding, that's life. You know, that's life. So then he said, well, you're going to be restored. The three vines represents 3 days and 3 days. And then he had a cup of wine and handed it over to Pharaoh. He said, in 3 days, you're going to be restored. Sure enough, it came to pass. Now with the other, I think one was the baker, one was the butler. The other dream was that the same chief butler unto Pharaoh saying, I do remember my faults this day. Well, the baker was the one that had the dream. And his dream, he saw meat being eaten from three heads. I think it was. I might be wrong, but anyway. The essence was, he said, in 3 days, Pharaoh is going to have your head. And sure enough, it happened the way it did. Well, to move forward, okay, it says, the butler and the baker had a dream and shared it with Joseph. Okay. Now, the thing that brought on this elevation, okay, let's look at the next thing. Number six, and finally exalted to second in command over all Egypt. In Genesis 41, 37 through 44. The thing that brought on this elevation was Joseph's ability to interpret dreams. It was at this point the chief baker remembered Joseph after 2 years. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Number 7, and fulfillment of the vision refers that dreams do come true. Okay, after the silver cup, okay, let's, I'm going too fast. Calm down. And finally, exalted to second in command. What happened was that Pharaoh had a dream. And when he began to dream about all these cows, they were really healthy. And then all of a sudden, all these lean cows came and started eating up the healthy cows. Now, that's really strange, because normally a stronger person can overtake a weak person. Then he dreamt about all the sheaves and all the wheat and stuff. And then he said, then all these thick, wheat and sheaves, then the very puny ones began to eat up the stalks of all the healthy. So he went to the magicians. They could not interpret the dream. That's when the chief butler realized, oh, my fault is before me. There's a man in the prison that can interpret dreams. And he said, go get him. And here was Joseph. Joseph was highly favored. Yes. I don't care where he went, he was blessed. Yes. The Lord always set him up to be second in command. Yes. Do we know who we are? We are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. When we realize who we are, I don't care what kind of situation we find ourselves in, we need to know who we are. When we know who you are, when teachers are trying to play down your children and saying they got this problem and they have that problem, don't believe every lie those parents tell you. You go to the Lord. You let that child know you can be who you want to be, whatever you want to be. Because the devil is a liar. He'll tell you you are nothing. And he'll have his cohorts to tell you the same thing. But you have to know who you are. Out of sight, out of mind. See, the chief butler was out of sight, out of mind. While you're in my presence, I think about you, I love you, I remember you. But out of your presence, forget you. That's reality in life. So, at that time, when the chief butler told who could tell the dreams, that's when he came and he interpreted the dream, and that was the fulfillment of the vision, which elevated him again. And we see here that in verse 7, and fulfillment of the vision refers that dreams do come true. After the silver cup, this is a long story. what time is it? We all know the story how when his brothers went to Egypt for food and how Joseph plotted. And he recognized them, but they didn't recognize him. And how he plotted and the money that they paid for the food, he put it back in that sack. And when they got back home, can you imagine how they felt? Oh, my Lord. And it was not just one of them, but all of them. What's going to happen to us? The money is back in our sack, and all they just was just all messed up. So then he says, okay, if you have a younger brother, he wanted to know, is your father living? Is your father alive? Do you have any other siblings? Yes, we have a younger brother. His name is Benjamin. And so they said, so then Joseph says, well, I want you to bring Benjamin back. And when you do wrong, you're gonna get it. They were shaking in their knees. They were shaking in their knees when they were talking, because see, they know what they had done wrong. See, Reuben says, well, we should not, that's all this is happening to us because of the fact that we sold our brother, and these things are happening to us. To make a long story short, he sent them back home with all their monies. Then he says, I want you to, first of all, he accused them of being spies. You are spies. They said, we're not spies. We're not. We're this. We're honest men. We're from this. We're from, you know, Canaan, and we have a father, and our father, you know, they just went on telling that little story. And so all of a sudden, he said, you're spies. Then he says, well, to prove to me that you're not a spy, let one of you stay here, and the others go back, and you get that youngest brother and bring him back. So Simeon had to stay bound up 3 days or more until they went home and got Benjamin. Well, can you imagine how the father felt when he says they want the younger brother to come? He says, Lord, I haven't even gotten over my oldest. No, and Simeon is there bound up. And you could tell me I have to let Benjamin go? No, no way. And then Reuben says, look, you know what? You can kill my two sons. I'll stand in the gap. I'll make sure if I don't come back, you kill my sons. And then Judah always said, take my family. But anyway, they went on. And this was the second trip. Then they had to come back and bring the father back. But the Lord, the thing about it is the Lord had this planned.
Yes.
Because of the famine, God used Joseph to save much people. And he said to them, he says, now, when it was all said and done and they sat at the table, and can you imagine how he had to walk out of the room to weep? He was so hurt for what they had done, but yet God allowed him to forgive them. He said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Yes, 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 yes. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So the thing here is that we have to know that dreams come true. John Maxwell said in his book, The Success Journey, a dream without a positive attitude produces a daydreamer. A positive attitude without a dream produces a pleasant person who can progress. Now, a dream together with a positive attitude produces a person with unlimited possibilities and potential. Take your pick. Which one would you choose? Dreams do come true. Now, keep dreaming in spite of adversity. Joseph was convinced at a young age, regardless of his brother's attitudes, that God was speaking to him toward his future. Young people, you have to know, God will speak to you when you're young. Joseph was 17 years old. He was no 40-year-old man. He was a young teenager. Where there is vision, there will be provision. The most amazing thing about Joseph's story to me is that from the beginning of time, God knew the exact path that Joseph would take to release provision to Israel and the tribes of the future. And in spite of all the controversy and trials that he would face, God's focus was the end result, knowing that he was more than able to deal with all that was in between. The end result. The end result. Now, I want to leave you with this. The three P's that takes place in the fulfillment of a dream. The three P's that take place in the fulfillment of a dream. The first one is promise. The second one is prison. And the third one is provision. Now in Genesis 37, verses 5 through 11, it shares the promise that God established in Joseph even as a child. Now, God's provision always starts with a promise, a seed, or a vision spoken to our hearts. Now, prison. Genesis 39 shows us that there will always be prison experiences on our way to our promise or provision. Let me tell you, I don't care what you believe in God for, you're going to always have a prison experience before you get your promise. And that prison experience is a time that you feel like throwing in the towel. You don't feel like holding on. Look like everything is coming against you. You know, some of us have dreams right now. We are dreaming whether I can ever be happy again. Or can I be successful again? The thing is that, yes, you can. But in the midst of your prison, after the prison experience, come the provision. That's what you have to hold on to. That's what you have to hold on to. Don't focus on the prison experience, but focus on the provision. Some of you are entrepreneurs. And maybe you have not had a dream, but you are so talented and so gifted. And God can say, you can do this. But the devil will tell you, well, you don't have the means. You're just a woman, or you're just a simple man. And God is saying, but you have the ability. You have to trust God. Step out by faith. Because a lot of people are gifted, and they're supposed to be entrepreneurs. And you're working for somebody else, and you could be working for yourself. But fear comes into play. Dreams do come true. If you have seen your business and seen the sign on the door, just say, Lord, I thank you. Believe it. Believe it. But trust me, the only thing, and after you've gone through that prison experience and it comes to provision, and all you said, oh, I didn't know that grant money was available. It's for women, business women. Oh, black minority women. I didn't know that was available. All women, but they do have specifically those, you know, I'm not being prejudiced or anything like that or biased, but they do have certain types of grants for women, you know, going into business. So to conclude the message today, John Osteen said, it's great to be young and dream the dream, but it's better to be old and to see that the dream is true. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dreams do come true. Dreams do come true. How many of you believe that dreams come true? Hallelujah. How many of you are dreaming in here? Okay. How many are still waiting for the manifestation of your dream? All right. Oh, see some, well, It looks like everybody don't dream in here. I didn't see anybody raise their hands. I know at some time you dream. Yes. Where are my dreamers? Where are my dreamers? Where are my dreamers? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet, every eye closed, every head bowed. Repeat after me, Father God.
Father God.
I thank you for the promise.
I thank you for the promise.
I thank you for the prison.
I thank you for the prison.
And I thank you for the provision.
And I thank you for the provision.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Now, even though dreams come true, the greatest dream that could come true is salvation. Because what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? You can have a dream that came true and it could yield you a millionaire, a billionaire, but without Jesus, what does it profit? Nothing. So if there's anyone in here today that has never accepted Jesus as your person,